everyone, and welcome to my spoiler-filled review for Spider-Man No Way Home. I got to watch it on Tuesday as a birthday gift from my brother, my birthday is today as I am recording this, although East Coast is no longer my birthday, but Mountain Time and West Coast time, it is my birthday, so yeah. Thank you to everyone who wished me a happy birthday. It was a very good one. I enjoyed it very, very much. But if you're not watching or listening to this one to hear about my birthday, you want to hear what I thought about Spider-Man No Way Home. And I will preface this review by saying I absolutely loved it. It's definitely the best of the MCU Tom Holland trilogy, or Homecoming trilogy, as he was referring to it during some of the press things that I've watched. As far as where I would rank it amongst the other Spider-Man films, I'll get to that at the end of my review for this one. But yeah, best I can really say is 2.5 hours of just pure fan service for Spider-Man fans who have been enjoying these movies for the last 20 years, you know, 2002, 2004, 2007, 2012, 2014, and then with the MCU, 2016, 17, 18, 19, and 21. I have to do this as a spoiler review because I can't review. This is one of those films where I can't give it a fair review without talking about important details of the plot. Let's just get right into it. The film picks up right where we leave off from Far From Home, which was deemed the big reveal from J.K. Simmons, J. Jonah Jameson on the screens of Times Square, revealing sharing the video of Mysterio where he reveals that Peter Parker is Spider-Man. And yeah, we pick up exactly from that point, which I just love and think it's awesome that they actually picked it up from that point. And then we see Peter being hounded by the citizens of New York and news outlets, and him and MJ are doing their best to escape the madness and trying to, go back home to Aunt May. And, and we see, him, her, and Happy, with their little breakup and all that stuff, which is pretty fun. And then, yeah, they show it on the news about his identity being revealed, and they're all arrested, and they're being questioned. And then the first of the many wonderful appearances and cameos throughout this film, we get the appearance of Charlie Cox's Matt Murdock as Peter Parker's attorney, which everybody in my theater loved that, of course. I heard a lot of audible gasps from audience members in my theater, which is that made me smile, because as much as I try to avoid spoilers and the leaks, I did see the leaked photo that asshole John Campia shared, because it's Photoshop. And just like the other picture that he shared, which, definitely saw that moment in the movie. But yeah, more on that later. That was a cool moment, and it felt very natural. It wasn't just like a, hi, I'm your lawyer, and then we don't see him anymore. Like, it was like a real scene, like Ray from on Fans Without Borders, how they described it, like that it felt like a real attorney and client conversation. And then we get a cool moment where somebody throws a brick through the window, and then he just catches it with, the perfect reflexes that Matt Murdock rather, has. And there, everyone's just reacting, like, how'd you do that? And his response is just, I'm a very good lawyer, which, got a good chuckle out of everybody. And I just love that, we officially have Charlie Cox's Matt Murdock in the MCU proper. And also with Hawkeye, we got Vincent D'Onofrio as Kingpin officially in the MCU as well, and that's just so freaking cool. And quick little side note about Hawkeye series. I'm very certain we're going to see more of him in the future, because we don't see exactly what happens to him. It's off camera, so yeah. But anyways, back to the movie. And then, one of the big plot points of this is that Peter, Ned, and MJ are all trying to get into MIT together so they can all go to college together and, can they basically stay together. And, that doesn't go very well because of the controversies of him being Spider-Man and them being friends and knowing Spider-Man. Basically, it's like, and that's where the whole thing of, him going to Doctor Strange to do the spell where people forget about him being Spider-Man, it's because he doesn't want him being Spider-Man to hurt the people that he loves, because, like, you know, Ned and MJ, their education prospects are being fucked with because of him being Spider-Man, and just the fact that they know him. And so, yeah, that's his motivation for wanting to do this, which, you know, I think is actually a very Spider-Man thing to do. It's like, he's, you know, because of, yeah, just basically he's trying to protect the people he loves. That's what Peter Parker, Spider-Man, does. And then, you know, like we saw in the trailer, if he botches the spell, although the way they showed it in the trailer is not at all like, not, well, not completely like how they showed it in the movie, which, I mean, we expect that from the MCU at this point. Like Wong, you know, how in the trailer it's like he wants nothing to, he was like, no, you shouldn't do that, blah, blah, blah. But in the actual movie, it's more of just, you know, I want no part of this. You do what you're going to do. Which I think is much better that way. And also, we also find out that Wong is the Sorcerer Supreme, on a technicality, as Doctor Strange put it, because of the blip and Doctor Strange being gone for 5 years. So, you know, through, by default, I guess, he became the Sorcerer Supreme, which explains why he was there in the mid-credit scene for Shang-Chi. So, yeah, be fun to see where that part of it, of the journey progresses with Multiverse of Madness coming next May. But yeah, then they go down to the little room where they conduct the spell, and this is where, you know, Peter botches it by putting the, you know, parameters of, you know, can't let MJ forget that he's Spider-Man, can't let Ned forget, can't let Happy, can't let Aunt May, and yeah, he just fucks it up completely. And then Doctor Strange, to avoid it going completely out of control, he contains it in like a little cube ball thing, and yeah, he gets mad at Peter because he finds out that this was Peter's first reaction to, you know, the whole being turned down by MIT, and tells him, like, it's like, you instead of calling and pleading your case, your first thought was to come to me and wipe out the memories of the world. So, yeah. And then that's when he goes to look for the admissions director, I guess. Don't remember what her exact title was, of MIT, so that him and his friends can get in, or more rather, he wants Ned and MJ to get into MIT. And then that's when we get the big introduction of Alfred Molina's Dr. Octavius, which, that was a cool sequence as well. You know, that's the thing, the action in this movie was the best out of the three Tom Holland Spider-Man films, for sure. Honestly, a lot of it was, so much of this movie was the best portrayals and presentation out of these three films. Like, Tom Holland's performance, definitely his best Peter Parker Spider-Man performance. Like, and it showed how good of an actor he really is, which I've known that he's a very good actor, and I'm very excited to see what he's going to do in the Uncharted movie coming out in February, which, funny, I actually recorded a trailer reaction to the new trailer a little while ago, but my dumb ass did not have the audio on the microphone unmuted, so, yeah, I wasted 6 minutes recording that, and I had to delete it because I was not going to do it again. And but yeah, anyways, we get the cool sequence with Dr. Octopus on the bridge, which, you know, a lot more than what they showed in the trailer. And then after that, they all get zapped into the, I get like kind of like a little prison area under the Sanctum, where Dr. Strange also had imprisoned the Lizard from The Amazing Spider-Man, which is pretty cool to see him there. And then, yeah, so Octavius is kept in there, and what was really cool also with from the bridge sequence, because of Peter having the Iron Spider nanotech suit, the nanotech is absorbed onto the tentacles of Octavius, and through that, Peter is actually able to, you know, with the Stark tech, control the tentacles, and he uses that to kind of, you know, keep Otto in check for a little while. And then finding out that there's more people out there in the universe from the multiverse and other universes, like we see briefly Green Goblin on the bridge as well, and then that's when Peter and MJ and Ned, they decide we're going to go search for these other people, and, you know, Dr. Strange gave Peter a little gauntlet thing that's supposed to zap all of them into these little prison cells, and that's where we see him in like a little power plant area, where that's where we see Sandman and Jamie Foxx's Electro, which He originally starts out as the blue version, and they play a little snippet of the Electro theme from The Amazing Spider-Man 2, which was really cool that they included that in there. And yeah, they actually, and also they included like a little snippet of the Dr. Octopus theme from Spider-Man 2. And they also had the variations of the other Spider-Man themes featured in select moments of this movie, which just, I loved it very much. And yeah, we get kind of a fair explanation for why Jamie Foxx is Electro, and Max looks different in this universe, because the transfer of energy from his universe coming into this one, which, I mean, suspension of disbelief. Some people buy it, other people don't. I accepted it just fine, because, comic book movies, this kind of thing might not be logical to most, but in the comic book world, it makes sense, But anyways, yeah. And then we get Flint Marko, comes up saving the Spider-Man, or, Tom Holland Spider-Man. And he's, helping him out because he remembers, when him and Tom's Spider-Man, had their little moment at the end of Spider-Man 3 where they, forgave each other and they were cool, more or less. So he's trying to help him out, but then when Peter zaps Electro into the little, sanctum prison, Flint Marko thinks that, oh shit, you killed him, blah, 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 and then he's about to fight him, but then Peter zaps him into the prison cell as well. And then we see a little bit more of, Green Goblin, or, Norman Osborn. He's in an alleyway, trying to, store all his supplies hidden somewhere, and he smashes the Green Goblin, helmet and mask, because he's thinking, that's gonna get the voices out of his head, but it doesn't, as we see later on. And we kind of see, a version of, what we saw in Spider-Man 2, when Peter puts the Spider-Man suit in the trash and he's walking away. We kind of see that with the Goblin, because he destroys the helmet, and it's on the ground, and he's walking away. But the way the helmet was shattered kind of also looks like from the one of the teaser posters for The Dark Knight Rises, where we see the, shattered, cowl for Batman, which I used to have that poster. It was such a really cool poster. But, And we also get to see a lot more of, with Aunt May, how, and just basically, I'm not gonna go, scene by scene of the movie, because that would just take too long, and I'm kind of feeling a little sleepy anyways, but, I'm trying to do as best as I can with this review, because there are surprisingly to me, a few people that actually are very much looking forward to hearing me talk about this movie, basically, in this film, we see that Aunt May is basically what Uncle Ben was to the other Spider-Man. Like, what Uncle Ben was to Toby, and, the catalyst for him and his, everything he did as Spider-Man. And for Andrew, Gwen being, that for him. We see that for Tom here. Because, Doctor Strange's trying to get all, the villains back to their universes. But then when Peter realizes that when they go back, they're basically all going to die, and he doesn't want to live with that guilt, so he wants to try to help them and cure them, so that when they go back to their universes, they don't have to die. And so that's his thing. Peter and Aunt May, and they're living in a Happy's apartment now, and he had stored a lot of the Stark stuff from Stark Industries, because, the feds had tried to seize all that technology when they were pursuing Peter Parker at the beginning of the movie. And then we see Peter using a lot of that Stark tech to, create, cures for all of them. Something for Otto, something for Norman, something for, Flint, something for Max, and something for Dr. Connors. With Octavius, he recreates the inhibitor chip that was destroyed in his movie, and it restores Otto Octavius in his, good guy form, pretty much. And then we get a cool moment with the spider sense, which we saw a lot more of Tom's spider sense for Peter Parker in this, which the way it was portrayed, I really loved, especially in this scene when they're in the apartment. Where it's like he feels it, and he knows there's something coming, and he's like looking around at all the villains surrounding him, and then he just instantly reacts, boom, to Norman, because he realizes something, that it's gonna be him that starts some shit. And then we get an awesome fight sequence with between all of them, especially between him and Goblin, where they just fucked each other up, and there's like body slams, like literally body slamming and spine busters and power bombs. Quite a few power bombs in this movie, honestly. Because we see the way Goblin is dressed is a lot more like the comics and kind of like a hybrid of Green Goblin and Hobgoblin, because he's wearing like a green hoodie and purple hoodie rather, and the green suit still, like with like some pants on. But the hood is like, it's kind of like Hobgoblin, and but the colors of the suit is like the comic book Green Goblin. So that was really cool. And when they're all trying to escape, used to be Peter and Aunt May are in the lobby area, because Peter and Norman, they've been literally fighting from floor to floor, crashing down into the lobby. And then Goblin's glider, boom, right from behind on Aunt May, and it impales her. But we know that right away. We just think it knocked the wind out of her, and then Goblin gets on the glider, tosses the pumpkin grenade, that blows up, and, you know, the way they did it, like, it makes you think, like, oh, shit. You know, she's killed by the grenade, but then we see her, she gets up, and she is behaving like she's okay at first, and she finally, and we finally get the line, the famous line in this movie, with great power comes great responsibility. But, you know, she says it like the original comic book version of it. I think it's like, with great power, I'm gonna look it up, because I can't remember it off the top of my head. Let's see, No Way Home, quote, so great. Yeah, with great power. Let me see. Yeah, with great power comes great responsibility. But yeah, the way she actually says it. Yeah. I don't think I'm gonna find it on here. Actually, let me see if it's right here. Yeah, because I want to get the exact wording of it on here. See if I can find it. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba, I'm loving it. All right, yeah, they don't have the actual quote on there. You all know that, yeah, with great power comes great responsibility, but yeah. We finally get that line, but then, like, May starts talking a little funny, like, she's like, you know, I just need to catch my breath, and then she, like, kind of drops to the floor, and then he's, like, embracing her, trying to, you know, like, yeah, it's gonna be okay, it's just you and me, it's gonna be, yeah, it's just you and me, and then he sees the blood on his hand from holding her, and that's when he realizes, oh shit, she's dying, and yeah, that's his Uncle Ben moment, which I'm gonna admit, I got a little emotional on this. I got emotional a few parts of this movie, because, goddamn, this movie, yeah, so she dies, and then Tom's Peter, you know, swings away, and, you know, because the little, where the cube, or, like, the little, where Dr. Shame had stored the spell, he had given that to MJ and Ned after a really, really cool mirror dimension sequence between Strange and Peter. That was really, really cool, and felt very much like Inception. That's where my head was at for a lot of the sequences. Which, yeah, if you've seen the movie already, it's really cool. And because, yeah, he's trying to get that from him, because basically it's like, you know, like a little thing, like where you push the button and then they all would transfer back to their universes. But, you know, again, Peter didn't want to do that to send them off to die. He wanted to try to help them so that they wouldn't have to die when they do go back. But yeah, so then he gives it to Ned and MJ and says, like, that if I don't call, if you don't hear from me by, like, X amount of time, then just push the button. So then, you know, Ned and MJ are waiting and waiting. And somehow through all the madness, Ned, because in the middle of Parker and Strange fighting, he was able to shut a portal on him, or close the portal, where, and then, like, the ring from Strange came off, and Ned grabbed that, so he was wearing that, and, you know, when they're in there, he's like, I wish we could just find Peter, you know, like, waving his hands around like that, and see the little spark, where, you know, like, when they're opening the portal, and that's when they realize, I can do this, so he's, starts, you know, like, you know, we could find Peter Parker, and then we see the portal open up, and we see, what we realize is, the Andrew Garfield Spider-Man, which was just so freaking cool, as much, because I've made it known for a while that Andrew's performance as Peter Parker in Spider-Man has been my favorite out of all the movies, and it was just so cool to finally see him again in the suit, and it's the Amazing Spider-Man 2 suit that he wears, which is my favorite Spider-Man suit up until the end of this movie, and it was just really cool getting to see him again, and, you know, my theater reacted, you know, accordingly to that moment, and then MJ and Ned have their moment where it's like, so it's like, okay, like, you know, we got the wrong Peter Parker, so, you know, let's just keep on trying until we get the real one. So then he does it again, and then we get Tobey Maguire's Peter Parker, which that got an even bigger reaction, as it should, because, you know, because, yeah, next year, 2002, celebrating 20 years of that first Spider-Man movie, which is just perfect timing with this movie being released. Yeah, and it was so cool to see him again, and just the interactions between Toby, Andrew, and Tom were honestly some of my favorite parts of the entire movie. I mean, the whole movie is great, so many great and memorable moments, but the interactions between the three of them, I just loved it so much, and just, it felt so natural, organic, none of it felt forced or shoehorned, it felt like it was, like it belonged, you know? And that's why I love this so much. You know, so they're like, then they, you know, they find Peter, which, you know, they eventually designate Tom Peter 1, Toby's Peter 2, and Andrew is Peter 3. So then we, yeah, when they go to find Peter 1, he's on top of the school because that's his, like, his safe space that we see earlier in the movie with him and MJ on sitting up there. So then they go there and they, you know, they talk to him, you know, Peter 2 talking about, you know, you know, I lost my Uncle Ben, and then Peter 3 talking about losing Gwen, and they, you know, that they all have that moment and that realization where they realize, you know, we got to do this together, and then they go to the lab area of the school, and they start building up the cures that they're going to use to, you know, save all these people, like, you know, they got the cure for Goblin, you know, the for Electro, for Sandman, and Andrew, which, you know, Peter 3, which was just funny. He's like, oh yeah, you know, I got Connors, I've cured him before, I can do it again, which, yeah, he did, and then I got a good little chuckle from the audience too, and they got a funny moment where it's recreating the Spider-Man, you know, pointing meme, or like a variation of it, when a Ned is calling for Peter, and they all react like, yeah, like, me, you know, you mean me, you're talking to me, and like, it's like, no, Peter Parker, it's like, yeah, we're all, yeah, and that was a really fun moment, and also that they had the moment where Peter 2 shoots the web from his wrist without needing the web shooters, because, you know, Holland, Spider-Man, Peter 1, he's filling the cartridges, and they're just like, yo, you can't do that, huh? And Andrew and Tom are just fascinated by the webs just coming straight out of his wrists, and they kind of revisit that when they're all on the scaffolding area for the final fight, which that final fight was fucking phenomenal as well. And, like, some, and one of my favorite moments from that fight, I mean, that, and it's just been replaying in my head over and over again for the last couple of days, because they're realizing, like, oh, we can't, we suck at this, you know, because Toby and Andrew, they've never been in a team, you know, thing, so they don't know how to really do that. So then, you know, Tom, Peter 1, he's like, suddenly he's like, I was with the Avengers, and Toby's like, the Avengers? That's great. What is that? And just, that line specifically has just been replaying in my head over and over again, because of just how, I don't know why, I just find it so funny, and just, yeah, probably my favorite line in the whole movie. But, and we get a really, really cool moment with, yeah, they all, you know, come up with their game plan. We're gonna tackle them one by one by one, and, you know, and it's, and this has become a very popular gif that I've seen on Twitter for, like, the last couple of days of Andrew, you know, hand on each shoulder and just says, I love you guys. And I've seen that a lot on so many people's posts. And then, yeah, they all mask up. They run off the little scaffolding bridge, swing together, and we get the cool, really cool hero shot that I'm going to actually just insert into the, if you're watching that on YouTube, just insert into the video right here. All right, and yeah, that's officially the background on my computer now. And the cool hero shot with the three of them. And yeah, I don't think I'm really doing this review justice or for this film, because it's just, it's a film that you need to see it to experience and understand anything that I've been saying in this. And and so many awesome moments, and the music is phenomenal, because we get the, you know, returns of the, you know, the Toby theme, the Andrews theme from the first Amazing Spider-Man. And yeah, we got, you know, snippets of the Dr. Octopus theme. You know, and this film, you know, and listening to like some of the other people's reviews, like, you know, Fans Without Borders review of the movie, that's like that this entire trilogy was basically the origin story of Tom Holland's Spider-Man and Peter Parker, which I agree with that. That's a very, I feel, accurate assessment of these three movies, because, you know, basically, like, where we are at the end of this film, that's where Toby was at the halfway point of the first film, and where Andrew was in the first film. But with Tom, it took these three films plus two Avengers films and Captain America Civil War to get to this point of being the Spider-Man that we all know and love, and that I've been waiting to see for the last almost 6 years, of him being Spider-Man. Because that has been my thing, that I've wanted him to be the Spider-Man that we know he could be, and he's finally at that point here. and I just love that so very much. It's so, I'm so happy that we get to see him like this. And in the process of all this madness going on, yeah, they cured Max, they cured Flint, they cured Connors, and then Goblin was the only one left, so they try to get him, but then he, the little box that had the spell in it, throws the grenade in there, blows it up, and the spell is going out of control. Doctor Strange makes a return here, and him and Ned have a moment where he realizes that he, you know, like, oh, you did you open a portal? He's like, yes, sir, yeah, I did. And then Strange is just like, huh. Like, he had, like, a, you know, a thing, like, a moment with him, which I think they're going to explore more of that in future films, and I hope they will. And then, so yeah, then Strange is trying to control the spell as much as he can, and we see, like, rifts in the multiverse starting to come up, and we see, like, silhouettes of different characters coming in. Like, we see one that looks like he's holding a spear, which most people have theorized as being Kraven the Hunter, which I believe that as well, because we are getting a Kraven the Hunter movie sometime in the next couple of years. And we also see the silhouette of Rhino from the Amazing Spider-Man 2. And there was one silhouette of a woman that many believe to have been Black Cat, which, not sure which universe she would have been from. I would suspect it to be from Andrew's universe, because that was the plan originally when they had Felicia Hardy introduced as Osborn's assistant in that movie, and Amazing Spider-Man 2, so we'll see. So I'm curious to see if they would actually follow up on that. But yeah, and then in madness of all that, Tom goes up to Strange and tells him, like, you know, do the spell as originally, you know, gonna do it, where everybody in the world forgets that Peter Parker is Spider-Man. And then Strange says to him, like, it'll be like you never existed. And he just goes, and Tom just goes, do it. Yeah, that's where the movie ends. Well, not exactly that, but that's how it's going to end, where nobody remembers him being Spider-Man. And that is the sacrifice he chooses to make to save the universe and to save the people that he loves. He realized, yeah, I'm going to lose my best friend, I'm going to lose the love of my life, but this is what they need. This is going to protect them and keep them safe. And then him and, you know, Peter 2 and Peter 3, they all embrace at the end of it. Like, they have a moment where they's like, you know, like, yeah, he's, you know, Peter 1 having his kind of like how I'm stuttering and stammering right now, just not knowing, like, what to say to, like, you know, show how grateful he is to them. And, yeah, Peter 2, he just goes, I know, it's what we do. Or, yeah. And then they have a hug, which I got a good reaction from the crowd too. And I've seen a lot of reaction videos from people going to see this movie. And yeah, that's one of the moments that gets a good reaction. And that's another picture that I have saved on my phone that I almost was the background for here, but yeah, for my computer. But yeah, and yeah, that's where we go from the end for the end of the movie. Like we're, because right before all they, you know, the spell is completed, Tom's Peter goes to say goodbye to MJ and Ned, and he promises them, like, I will find you guys, you know. And he does find them later on, but then when he realizes that they're, you know, they're better off because they've been accepted to MIT and they're gonna go over to college and be happy and do all this awesome stuff, he realizes they're better off without him. So he decides not to fulfill that promise, at least for now. We'll see if they go back to that in future films, because Amy Pascal says that they are going to do more films with Tom Holland Spider-Man. Well, there's been no official press release or anything like that for him, but we'll see how that goes. But yeah, he is off on his own. He gets his own apartment, and then we see that he had made his own Spider-Man suit, and it is the comic book Spider-Man suit, the Spider-Man suit. Like the design of it looks so freaking cool, and I'm waiting for them to release a clear professional photo of it, because I just want to see the details of that suit. Because from the way I remembered it in my head, it's kind of like a combination of all of their suits. You know, Tom's suit from Civil War and Homecoming, Toby's suit, Andrew's suit, and just such a beautiful suit. God, I want to see a clear, high definition, you know, 4K picture of it, which I know they'll eventually do that. Probably when the Blu-rays are coming out for the movie, which I will definitely be ordering that. Hopefully when my PS5 will come in by the time that is released, so that I can enjoy it on there. Yeah, I was able to order a PS5 through a Walmart.com drop on the 13th. I'm still waiting for that to arrive because, you know, inventory has been low from stuff that I've been reading. So hopefully I'll get that very soon. But yeah, anyways, yeah, that's how the main part of the movie closes, where we see him in the new suit swinging around New York City, or at least around Rockefeller Center, which is so freaking cool. And then we get the mid-credit scene where we see Tom Hardy's Eddie Brock in the little tiki bar that he pops in, that we see him transfer to in the Venom Let There Be Carnage mid-credit scene. I think it's the mid-credit scene or post-credit scene. I haven't watched the movie yet, so I don't remember where that scene is placed. But yeah, he's in the bar talking to the bartender, trying to understand that universe, where he's like, the guy's explaining to him about, you know, Captain America and, you know, Iron Man and the Thanos and all that. But then we see him transferred away back to his own universe, but a little piece of that symbiote is left behind, teasing the symbiote being in the MCU officially now, which I am excited to see the potential of how that's going to go going forward. And then the post-credit scene turns out was the teaser trailer for Multiverse of Madness, which is they've officially released online. But yeah, it was cool. I did not expect a teaser trailer to be the post-credit scene for this movie. So that was really cool, and that movie looks freaking phenomenal as well. I can't wait for that to come out next May. I'm excited to see that. I'm going to try to see that in, like, the most trippiest, you know, 4D theater that I'm able to go to. But yeah, this film's freaking phenomenal, absolutely amazing. And that's another part that I thought was really funny. Like, right when the three Peters are on, you know, right, it was right before the fight, and they're on the scaffolding, and they're basically sharing war stories of, like, of creatures and stuff that they fought. Because they were saying, like, oh, because Peter 1 was asking, like, you know, what's the craziest villain that you've, you know, ever had a fight with? And, you know, Peter 2, he's talking about, yeah, I fought this alien made out of, like, some kind of black goo or whatever. And then Peter 1 talks about fighting an alien in space, you know, Thanos. And then Peter 3, Andrew, saying, like, I'm lame, I've only fought a guy in a mechanical rhino suit, and then that's when Toby's, you know, Peter too, he says, like, it's like, you're not lame, you're amazing, like, and like, no, listen, you are amazing. And that got a good reaction from my honest view. And it's like, I don't know, just Andrew's, see, I mean, this whole movie, they made it very clear that this was Tom's movie, you know, that then no matter how all the cameos and, you know, other characters that were in this movie, it was definitively Tom Holland's Spider-Man story. And I love that it wasn't something centered around, oh, this is because of Tony Stark, that this, why this is happening. No, this was all about Peter. This was Peter's story, and I love that so much. But Andrew's performance from the moment he shows up to the end of this movie was a standout performance, and just reminded me of why he was my favorite actor to play Peter Parker in Spider-Man. And that's launched a very passionate campaign for Sony to make The Amazing Spider-Man 3. And allegedly, I'm seeing some bloggers and scoopers reporting that that's actually in serious consideration now. Which, you know what, I hope they do it, because Andrew still young enough to pull it off, and I'm sure he's more than game for that. And that was another one of my favorite moments, when he's telling him, you are amazing, and officially on Marvel's website, when you see the character listings, Toby's Spider-Man is listed as Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man, and Andrew Garfield's Spider-Man is The Amazing Spider-Man. So that he is officially in MCU canon, The Amazing Spider-Man, and that is just really freaking cool. That's gonna do it for this review. I hope that whatever I said made any sense, and I hope that people that were gonna watch or listen to this, that I did a good job reviewing this movie, because compared to other people that I know would have done better reviews, where I would rank this movie amongst the previous 8 films, because I remember I did my rankings, I think it was actually my first official worst to best rankings that I did on here, where I had Amazing Spider-Man 2, I'm going from the bottom, it was Amazing Spider-Man 2, Spider-Man 3, The Amazing Spider-Man, Spider-Man Homecoming, Spider-Man, Spider-Man Far From Home, Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, and then Spider-Man 2. Although over the last few months and the last year, my ranks have kind of shifted around a little bit now, but not sure where the rest of them would go, but I can definitively say that my top 3 does include Spider-Man 2, Into the Spider-Verse, and No Way Home. And just letting the film simmer in my head over the last few days, and just the more I've thought about it and talked about it with some people, I think No Way Home might be my new favorite Spider-Man movie, which I never thought I would see the day that something would, that I would like a Spider-Man film more than I like Spider-Man 2. But yeah, I'm seeing it right now. I think Spider-Man No Way Home is my new favorite Spider-Man movie. And I've seen a few people that feel the same way. And you know what? I don't blame them. It's a fucking phenomenal film. And for 2021, right, very high up there with Zack Snyder's Justice League. So, yeah. But yeah. Thank you all so much for watching, for listening, and if you're not subscribed, please do so. Subscribe on YouTube, Spotify, Google Podcasts, CastBox, Radio Public, Breaker, Anchor, Apple Podcasts. All the direct links are in the description of this episode. And also, you can support me on being a patron. I don't have any patrons currently, but that's okay. I'm not forcing anyone to spend a dollar a month to support my endeavors with the Minute Science Podcast, but you know, you can also support me by purchasing a shirt from my Minute Tights podcast store. That direct link is in the description as well. Thank you to everyone who has purchased something from there. Just got the email notification a little while ago of somebody that purchased my Achievement Unlocked Snyder Cut Released t-shirt. Thank you very much to whoever purchased that one. Follow me on all my social medias, Twitter, Instagram, Vero, Snapchat, Facebook, if you know, if you'd like to be a Facebook friend. I won't add everybody that sends me a friend request. I've become very, very cautious about that. Feel free to send a friend request, and if I accept it, cool. If I don't take it personally. Follow me on Twitter, follow me on Instagram, follow me on Vero, Snapchat, and we can have all kinds of fun conversations on there. And yeah, thank you all so much for watching, for listening. And I love and appreciate every single one of you who do, truly and genuinely do. And I hope you're all doing well, staying safe, taking care of yourselves and your loved ones. And that you will have a wonderful, happy, and merry Christmas. And a happy Kwanzaa if you celebrate that. Happy Boxing Day for those who celebrate that up in Canada. Happy New Year in case I don't do anything else after this episode. This has been my spoiler-filled review for Spider-Man No Way Home. I am Julian, and I will see all of you on the next one. Bye-bye.